This is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega from WNYC and PRX in collaboration with WGBH Radio in Boston.
And finally, all voting members of the Academy have nominated the following films for Best Picture.
The Oscar nominations came out yesterday, and once again, Oscar's so white and male. But it wasn't supposed to be this way. The hashtag #OscarsSoWhite, created by advocate April Rain, caught fire in 2015 after no people of color were nominated in any of the year's acting categories. In response to growing pressure to increase diversity, the governing board of the Academy of Arts and Sciences said they were going to commit to doubling the number of women and diverse members of the Academy by 2020. Here's the former president of the Academy, Cheryl Boone Isaacs, discussing the need for diversity at the 2016 Oscars.
Our audiences are global and rich in diversity, and every facet of our industry should be as well.
But not much has changed. Cynthia Erivo was the only person of color nominated in any of the four acting categories for her performance as Harriet Tubman. And in another glaring absence, there were also, once again, no women nominated in the Best Director category. One of the films shut out by the Oscars was The Farewell, directed by Lulu Wang. Back in July, The Takeaway spoke with Wang, and she told us about the direction she wants to see Hollywood move towards.
I just think that we have to show a wide array of different stories, regardless of what ethnicity, you know, whatever. It's all about just the specificity and allowing people to tell their own stories.
Joining me now are Allison Wilmore, film critic at Vulture and New York Magazine, and Soraya McDonald, culture critic for ESPN's The Undefeated. Thanks to you both for being with us.
Oh, a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So lots of talk about Oscar So White, Oscar So Male. Soraya, a lot of people were predicting supporting actress nomination for J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez in Hustlers. Why do you think she didn't make it?
Well, I think, you know, as much as we've talked about this effort to change the makeup of the Academy, that progress is actually moving along quite slowly. And, you know, one of the things that I noticed about J-Lo and Hustlers is that she is, you know, subverting sort of like a long-held awards trope, because for years and years, you know, one of the ways that women could get an Oscar nomination for themselves was by playing a stripper with a heart of gold or a sex worker with a heart of gold, someone who, like, does a job involving taking her clothes off and also has a heart of gold. And, you know, J-Lo's character in Hustlers is far more complicated than that. She's a bit of an anti-hero. Like, she's pretty ethically compromised, but still, like, really interesting to watch in the way that, you know, we have come to see as normal for, say, leads of movies like The Irishman. But I think because she is not necessarily playing to the idea of what we usually think of when we think of a stripper in a movie, I think she was punished for that a bit by the acting segment of the Academy that just, like, didn't appreciate what she was doing in that movie.
Allison, Glenn Mazzara, who's the creator, as you know, of The Walking Dead, tweeted this after the Oscar noms. He says, quote, "Call me crazy, but I believe that white men, feeling threatened by recent pushes to hire more women and people of color, are not voting for films made by those people because that would validate those films and create a shift in the marketplace." Should be noted that Mazzara is white and male. What do you make of that comment?
You know, it's so hard to guess what's on the mind of Oscars, you know, except for when there are occasional anonymous Oscar ballot interviews, which are often horrifying, by the way. I think that what you have to kind of figure is there are a lot of people who I think, if not consciously pushing back, I think also see, like, well, we've taken care of this problem now. You know, I don't have to think about it anymore. And I think you see some really prominent artists and voting members be like, well, I don't think that diversity is something that should count. It should be about quality. As though quality
Stephen
were
King
Stephen King this
yes.
morning. Mm-hmm. Yes, the favorite of the internet this
yes.
morning.
Yes.
You know, but I think you see in that this kind of assumption that taste is neutral and exists outside of someone's experiences and identity. And it's really frustrating to see that again and people being like, well, I just voted for what was good, and to assume that that means that that exists in a vacuum.
And that what was good this year included, or at least quote unquote good, included
included The Irishman, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and very, very little diversity. I mean, we know that according to USC Annenberg's Inclusion Initiative, 2019 was a banner year for top grossing movies directed by women, 13-year high. But they're still only 10%, and the numbers are much lower for women of color. So, Raya, why can they still get shut out?
You know, I think part of it is that there's not a respect there for the work that female directors do. I do think that there is some legitimacy to the idea that, you know, these guys who basically sort of make up the voting membership of the director's wing of the Academy have sort of created a club for themselves. And it is, you know, quite possibly the, you know, He-Man, Woman-Hating Club. No girls allowed. It certainly looks that way when you look at this year's nominations. But there were so many, like, phenomenally directed films that were made by women filmmakers this past year, whether it was Greta Gerwig with Little Women, Mariel Heller with A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Atlantics by Mahdi Jope.
These were all films that have been part of the conversation for months already. It's not like these were like obscure films that were made. I mean, do the Oscars still matter? And I'm going to get your take, Allison, on that as well. But do the Oscars still matter? Some people just say, you know what, enough. We don't need this anymore, particularly for creators of color.
Yes, I think they do. Institutions can and should evolve and quickly. We're basically leading up to the 92nd presentation of the Oscars. So even if, you know, there is this new award that sort of arises as like a corrective to that, it's not really seen as the same thing, right? It's like reactionary. Like, this is the body and the award that has been created supposedly to celebrate the sort of annual best in film. And that means, you know, that we should take it as such.
So, Allison, I want to ask you the same question. Do the Oscars still matter? And I say this because there's been so much blowback to people just saying, you know what, just do your own thing. Like, why are these things so important? But do they still matter?
Well, they are obviously an enormous platform. You know, there's a reason that studios still spend really grotesque amounts of money on Oscar campaigns, and it's because of how visible this award is, what it can mean in terms of benefiting the studio financially, but also in terms of future work that people get to do, in terms of the ramifications that kind of, like, you know, reverberate through the industry when these prizes are handed out. It's really hard to kind of read how directly that is, but I think in that case, yes. For me, the Oscars have very rarely lined up with my personal favorite films of the year. And often when you look back in history, the films from a year we talk about are not the Oscar winners. And I think it's important to remember that and to maybe always think of the Oscars as most accurately reflecting how the industry views itself at that particular moment. And I think they are very valuable in terms of that. I think that they are this very warped, interesting and often troubling reflection, Hollywood's reflection on itself. And in that way, I do think they're valuable.
And that's a perfect segue into my next question, which is that The Joker received the most nominations this year, 11 noms. The Irishman, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, all got 10 nominations. Scarlett Johansson was nominated twice.
Yes.
I mean, why do you think these were the films that connected most with the Academy in 2019? Because we talk a lot about the nominations, but the Academy itself is also relatively, and I'm being generous here, white and male, right? Did that also have something to do with this, you think?
I don't think it was deliberate that a lot of these films have been extremely grounded in not just like a male experience and a white male experience, but also feelings of sometimes control, like, you know, fear of control going away from these white male characters, of time passing. I think that's just an interesting coincidence, but the fact that they all resonated so much with the Academy membership is, I think, also unsurprising and maybe telling. Joker, I find it a frustrating win because I think in some ways it is a portion of Hollywood's ideal, which is that it is a really popular film. You know, it was a massively successful box office hit, but it's also a film that makes some gestures towards like serious cinema, you know, this very method acting, references Martin Scorsese. So I think that there is some Oscar voter who thinks that that is the future of the Academy Awards, something that throws back to the past while also making gestures to the popular present.
Soraya, the only person of color to receive an acting nomination this year was Cynthia Erivo for playing Harriet Tubman. I'm going to ask you how telling that nomination is in terms of the types of roles that the Academy has been willing to recognize Black actors for.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very telling. You know, there have been a number of actors, of Black actors, who have made this observation that when it comes to recognition from the Academy, there is definitely this preference for roles that require Black actors to somehow put themselves in positions that are often seen as demeaning or degrading, not particularly dignified. You know, either they're enslaved people or maids, or, you know, in the case of Monique, just a really sort of hellacious mother. So that's really disappointing because, you know, part of what that communicates is that they're not necessarily seeing the craft in a role like Alfre Woodard's in Clemency or in Lupita Nyong'o's in Us. And that's tremendously disappointing, right? Because, I mean, sort of in the popular imagination, these awards exist to say, hey, like, you know, look at the great work that these folks are doing. And then, you know, you look at the performances that were nominated in some of these acting categories, and it doesn't really quite match up.
Allison Wilmore is a film critic at Vulture and New York Magazine, and Soraya McDonald is culture critic for ESPN's The Undefeated. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.